Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the last verse from the Gospel reading. They were astonished beyond measure, saying of Jesus, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is our text. Can you imagine a total stranger coming up to you and sticking his fingers in your ears and spitting and then touching your tongue? And it was your own friends who brought you to this man. I really doubt that's what the friends had in mind when they brought their deaf-mute friend to Jesus. All they wanted was for Jesus to place his hand on the guy, perhaps not quite that close, and bless him. But what they get instead is Jesus using his fingers as Q-tips and applying spit to the man's tongue. And that's what Jesus wants to do here today with you. He wants to stick his word that deeply into our ears, and he wants to loosen our tongues to sing and speak his praise. The one who does all things well wants to do all things well with us too. St. Mark doesn't tell us anything about the man whose ears and tongue didn't work. We don't even know his name. He's one of those many people who are hearing impaired, living in silence, struggling daily to communicate with people whose ears did work. He'd never heard the sound of laughter. He'd never heard the sound of music. He'd never heard the sound of God's word. And he also spoke with great difficulty. It describes him as having a speech impediment. Even the most basic conversation for this man was a struggle. He came from the region of the Decapolis, the 10 cities in Gentile territory. You might remember that as the region where Jesus had cast the legion of demons out of the man in the graveyard and sent them into the herd of pigs, which then plummeted over the cliff. The people of that area, at least the pig farmers, weren't very big fans of Jesus anymore. But somehow word had spread about his power over demons, his power over diseases. And so when he shows up in that area again, some people seek him out. And that's how Jesus and this man whose ears and tongue don't work get together. A few people believed enough about Jesus to bring their friend. I want to think about that for just a moment. A few people believed enough about Jesus to bring their friend. We call that evangelism. And it's really not that complicated. Bringing people you know to Jesus to have him bless them. Perhaps that's how you came here to our Savior, was with that sort of invitation. Perhaps you brought others along by that kind of invitation. I encourage you this week, look for one person in your life that you can invite. And you don't have to have all the answers. All you have to do is say, "I know this guy named Jesus, and he does all things well. Come and meet him." This is what the friends of this man did. They came to Jesus and just said, "Won't you lay your hand on our friend? His ears and his tongue don't work. We heard what you did with demons, so we figured you might be able to help him." And Jesus does. He takes the man aside, away from the crowds. He's not a showman. He's not on a stage saying, "Hey, look at me." He's not into show business. Jesus doesn't want to make a show, and he doesn't use the misfortune of this man to draw attention to himself. He takes him aside so that he's completely there for this man who can't understand him or hear him, and who cannot speak with him. That man has Jesus' undivided attention, his whole heart. And Jesus uses a bit of sign language to begin with. He reaches out and touches this man in a way that's very personal, you might say a bit invasive and intimate. He connects with that man where he is, and he deals with him in his language. He takes his fingers and he sticks them in the man's ear, and then he spits on his fingers and he touches the man's tongue. Think about what he's doing there. He's touching what is broken with the Creator's hand. The good physician is at work. He's hands-on. He's not distant. He's not removed. He's not remote. He is right there with this man in need. And he touches him. It's a reminder to us that touch is vitally important. Vitally important for life and for healing and for well-being. Although I would suggest that our culture has largely forgotten that. Although not our culture in the church. Touching is so important. Jesus has come not only to be your God, your Lord, in some out there mystical way, but he has come to reach out and touch you, even to put his very body and blood into your mouth. And think about what it means. When Jesus touches someone, they were touched by the hands of God. Our God is a hands-on God. He came down from heaven's glory and he stepped into our human flesh to dwell among us and to touch us through his own humanity. You know, if he didn't want to touch us, if he didn't want to get that close to us, if he didn't want to involve himself in our lives like that, then there would have been no reason for him to become man. But he does. Fingers in the ears, spitting and grabbing tongues, man. He's the God who deals with us as the human creatures we are, in the grubby, ordinary, earthy, everyday way of our human existence. And when Jesus sticks his fingers into that man's ears, he's sticking into that man's ears the fingers of God. When he touches that man's tongue, it was God touching his tongue. And then Jesus looks up to heaven. It's as if to say, this is where your help comes from. Your help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. And I've come to bring God to you. Jesus is our go-between. He is our mediator, the mediator between us and God. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. He touches us with God's touch. He sighs. He groans. Why? Because he knows how deep the brokenness is. And he knows what price he'll have to pay to fix it. The price he'll have to pay to fix that man's ears and that man's tongue and to fix you and me as well. He knows the cost of this healing. The cost is crucifixion and death. It can only be paid for with blood. And then Jesus speaks a word. What's surprising is that St. Mark doesn't give it to us simply in translation. He gives it to us in the original, the Aramaic. Ephatha. Ephatha, be opened. Be released. But he speaks those words not just to the man's ears, not just to the man's tongue. He is speaking to the entire man. Be released from your bondage. Ephatha, be free. Jesus releases him from everything that holds him bound and captive. Be released. Jesus came to proclaim release to the captives. To those bound in sin and death, he came to speak a liberating word. A word that he speaks to you today. Be released, Ephatha, whatever it is that has you bound, chained. He bids be loosed and be free. And you know what his word does? His word is living and active. His word is full of spirit and of life. His word words fall on deaf ears and cause them to hear. It's an amazing thing. He speaks to a man who is deaf, and now the man can hear. His words fall on mute tongues and cause them to speak. At the sound of Jesus' word, at the sound of that Ephatha, his ears were opened and his tongue was released. We don't know what he said, but we're told that he spoke plainly and coherently. And then a bit of a surprise. Jesus tells that man and his friends and everyone else there not to say anything. Your tongue is opened, you've just seen a miracle, but keep it to yourself, please. It's a bit ironic. The man can speak clearly, but now Jesus puts a gag order on him. Why? Because Jesus doesn't want to be known just as a wonder worker. If all the people saw in him was a cure for their earthly problems, if all they saw in Jesus was an ear and tongue specialist, then they missed the point. If all we see in Jesus is quick therapy, then we've missed the point as well. The Apostle Paul said that if our hope in Christ is only for this life, if all we look to Jesus for is a solution to our problems of this moment, then of all people, we are most to be pitied. Because there's more to Jesus than miracles. The miracles are a sign that God has come, a sign that God is there to touch us and to heal us. Isaiah had spoken of these signs centuries before. Your God will come, he prophesied. He will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like deer, and mute tongues will shout for joy. God came in Jesus Christ. He came to save us. He came to save us by absorbing into himself all the sin, all the evil, all the brokenness, all that had gone wrong with us, all that had come into the creation because of our fall. He came to take our sicknesses and our diseases into his own body. He came to battle the demons that darken our lives. He came to take the devastation that crushes us. He came to free us from everything that binds us, that imprisons us, that keeps us from being God's children, to unchain us from sin, from death, and from the devil. And he came to bring in the new creation with his own dying and rising, a new creation in which the blind see and mute tongues speak and the lame leap and water flows in dry desert places. He has come to do all of that and more. And if we don't see that fulfillment yet, if our problems of this day are not fully fixed and solved by Christ, it will happen. The day will come when the deaf will see and the mute will speak and the lame will leap. That is promised in Christ. But Jesus didn't want them to say anything about what had happened because what had happened was not everything. It was too small and it was too soon. There was much more of Jesus to come. His death on the cross, his rising from the grave, the empty tomb, his ascension to glory, his sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then the disciples would speak openly. Then they would speak plainly. Then they would declare to all the mighty works of God. But of course, you know how it goes. Jesus tells them to be quiet. Shh. And they immediately go out and tell everyone else about him. They were overwhelmed at the power of Jesus. With a simple word, one word, Ephatha, Jesus did what no man is able to do. And yet he did it in such a human, earthy way. Through his humanity, the power of God had come to save, to set free from, and to release from bondage, and the people couldn't help but talk about it. He's done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Consider this now. How much more we have to say about Jesus than they had to say. We know the greater things that Jesus has done. Greater things than making ears and tongues work again. Jesus has died for us, and he has risen from the dead, and he reigns over all things, including over sin and death. And if that's not something for us to talk about, then I don't know what is. Jesus has opened your ears, and he has unloosed your tongue. In holy baptism, when you were baptized, that was Jesus coming to you, saying, Ephatha, be opened, opening your ears. For what purpose? That you might hear his word, and that you might hear it with faith, believing it. Anointing your tongues to sing his praises, and to pray to him, and to proclaim his name. And he continues still today, putting his forgiveness into your ears, putting his body and his blood on your tongues. His word in our minds and in our hearts, in the same earthy incarnate way of fingers and ears and spitting on tongues. Today, I also consider the way in which this mirrors what Jesus does through Sunday school and through the teaching of the faith in our church. We might look at our Christian education in our congregation as a continuation of Jesus' work of unstopping ears and loosing tongues. We're all born deaf to God's word. We're all born mute to praise and prayer and thanksgiving. But consider in your own life, out of God's grace, someone brought you to Jesus, as the people brought that deaf and mute man from the Decapolis. Someone brought you to baptism. They brought you to the scriptures. Someone taught you God's word. Someone stuck the gospel of Jesus in your ears. Might have been a parent, a pastor, a friend, or a teacher. How important you are in the lives of others. Now, of course, teaching the faith can be frustrating. Sometimes, and I speak here to the Sunday school teachers maybe particularly, sometimes you might not be quite certain what has sunk in and what has bounced off. Sometimes you might wonder whether they can hear anything at all and whether their tongues work properly. But remember your own life. Remember how deaf you have been to God and how slow you are to hear his word. And remember the muteness of your own tongue, how reluctant you are to speak it. And let Jesus first open your ears and unloose your tongue with his forgiveness. And then you are ready to teach. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised by the questions the children ask, or the things they say, or where and when they decide to start belting out the liturgy at full voice. The Word of God has a way of breaking through and of getting in. And that's why it's so important for us to have our little ones in church and in Sunday school. Sometimes it requires patience. Sometimes it can be frustrating, but it is worth the effort, and it is worth some squirmy Sundays. Consider how you learn to pray the words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. It was long before you knew what those words meant. We grew into it. And I'd say no matter how old you are, we're still growing into it. We're still learning. And the children are learning by watching us, and they're learning to participate along with us, and they are counting on us, and they are seeing that what we do here is for them as well. But they need us. So parents, godparents, teachers, Christian adults, you've been given the holy calling to train the ears and tongues of God's little ones. You're teaching them to use their ears to listen to God, and you're teaching them to use their tongues to praise and to pray. And that teaching is holy work. Remember that it is Jesus who is at work in and through you, and he does all things well. He's the one who opens ears. He's the one who loosens tongues. He forgives sinners. He raises the dead. He gives eternal life. And he does it all well. Trust him to do everything well with you. In Jesus' name, amen.